The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 235. I am your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Ooh, yeah!
Carlos Romero.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And Adam Vale.
W for life.
All right, so tonight, this is something I've always kind of wanted to do. This is the Mantequilla podcast. It's just the spics tonight, you know?
Pigeon.
You know, it was the Mantequilla podcast or the Wepa podcast, you know?
The two without hats, I remember them.
That's it. We're all talking Spanish for the rest of the night, man.
That shit.
You know, and by the way, Sketch, that's not racist, man. We can say it, you know? Yeah, hey, that's our word. We can say it.
We got to do the Spanglish. Pero why?
Pero why? Yo, how's everybody doing? Hope you're doing well out there. Before we start, Chris is, you know, still on vacations. Brian, he's, you know, doing British stuff, eating tea.
He's crying to me. Yeah.
He's getting ready to start his campaign to be prime minister because they need one over there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like he's going to take over the union or whatever the fuck they got over there. And, you know, Brett's got some personal stuff going on. So, yes, just us tonight. So if we're done in 40 minutes, don't blame us. You know, we're Hispanics, man. We get to that point, son. All right. Also, I want to thank Mr. Illustrated Dio for winning the contest, man.
Yes. You know, congratulations. Mr. Dio, which I don't have an aid here because all of them are gone now. But I do.
No, I don't.
But he did win this poster, which is of excellence number one, which is a special poster that we had made, as well as the special cover that I did for One Stop Shop Comics, and yeah. I signed that up and I sent it off the day after he won, so it's all good.
That's cool. Yeah, man, pretty awesome.
I know. To my memory, I mean, Dio has been listening to us since the beginning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Since
'80s,
STFU and Play days back in 2012 or earlier, right?
He read the books.
He read the books, the Throwdown books. So he's been listening since then. I think this is, to my memory, the first time he's ever won anything on the show.
Yeah, which is crazy because he usually applies to every single one of our contests, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So,
yeah, congratulations to him.
Yeah, and it's cool because Dio's one of the few guys we see semi-regularly. Like, you see him every year at New York Comic Con. I kind of do.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Hideo Kojima thing we went to the other day. That was pretty cool. We saw him also at the other Tribeca thing. You know, we went to dinner with him. So it's kind of cool that somebody who's been with us for that long, you know, wins something, you know, looking badass. All right, man. So let's get to these questions. All right. First of all, this dude, Johnny the Truth Teller, you could tell he goes into the comments of YouTube and just comments in real time because the whole thing is just plastered with comments. I kind of wish Chris was here because he called Chris a pony Chris gave out some facts, you know. Anyway, he asked us once again, you know, about like how could Microsoft possibly, you know, how could Sony possibly beat, Microsoft generation? Like, we already answered that, bro. And Chris broke that shit down. Why? Basically, both of them, their gaming divisions, they kind of make the same money, you know. So it's kind of moot. And he keeps saying that.
It's like Microsoft in a whole makes more money than Sony, but their gaming division doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, like their gaming division, they spend about the same amount of money as Sony, so it's kind of negligible.
They have the same amount of operation costs.
Pretty much. Yeah, people don't think about that. You just think, oh yeah, they have $3 billion. They could use all that. No, it doesn't work like that. You got to pay employees and pay the rent, all this other shit. You know?
Yeah, and that's exactly what Chris was trying to say. It's like, yes, they may have all this money, but they also – they don't, all that money doesn't, isn't going straight toward Xbox.
As a matter of fact, Manny, if you remember that chart, Xbox was all the way on the bottom, and not because it was in alphabetical order. You know?
it was the portion of their company that's not making the most money. LinkedIn and a whole bunch of other parts of their entities were all making more money.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because this dude, you know, he keeps saying this. He's like, Microsoft's number one priority is gaming. Really? So computer software, that really, bro? Really?
Their enterprise division is number one.
I'm going to tell you right now, and you saw it from the reports. I'm not making this up. You saw it from the report. Gaming is the least important thing, you know?
Yeah.
Xbox is, at least. So don't get that out of your head, bro.
Well, dude, you know, I here's the thing. I know he loves his Xbox, and you know that's fine.
Goes to sleep with that every night, man.
But the same thing at the same time, you got to realize that the way these companies work is not the way you think. You're only seeing one portion of a larger whole. So, in that sense, it's like they're not going to siphon a bunch of money into this, not siphon more money into that just because it's because it's at the bottom. They're probably going to do it as much as they think it's going to be worth. So, yeah, they're not throwing $1 billion at it. Here's the thing. If Microsoft actually went in and said something along, if you read their financials and it said the Xbox division was made $X billion, that would make be more of an interesting story. But this is the company in whole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Xbox. I mean, Microsoft just doesn't do Xbox. They do a lot of things. Xbox gaming, that's literally at the bottom mm-hmm. of the list, you know. And then he's also under this impression that Microsoft is going to outright buy Sony now because of the Azure fucking servers.
Please, no.
Again, you got to also understand that there are services that these companies like Microsoft, like Sony, even Google, they all offer these services that are sort of not specific. It's for other companies to buy into. Being that Microsoft has the sort of infrastructure for that stuff, Sony doesn't need to worry too much about creating that sort of infrastructure to run their network. So they're like, okay, these guys are probably the fastest guys out in the business besides Google, and Google's officially full on competition right now. So let's go with Microsoft because they understand gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty simple. So anyway, we're not going to answer that question. We already went there. So his question is, Adam, you're going to love this one. Do you think Xbox gamers are more hardcore than PlayStation gamers?
I don't think any of them. I think if anything, PC gamers beat out both consoles because they're the ones willing to pay fucking almost $2,000 for a video card and not bitch about it. Like, I have a coworker right now who is jumping up and down because he just got a video card on sale for $850. And I'm like, really? That's his deal? He's like, damn right, this deal's like $1,200. And I'm like, oh shit. And we got people over here bitching about an extra $100 for a console. You know, so yeah, I think it's just BS for both of them. It doesn't matter.
Damn, Tony, you're gonna let him talk to you like that?
Well, I'm not bitching about it. I'm just saying.
No, but I'm just saying. It's just there's all the markets, and people are just perfectly fine with paying a lot. But it depends. I mean, everybody likes to pick a team. It's like that with everything. You know, you like Reebok, I like Nike, that type of shit. You know, high tech Tim's, whatever. There's always somebody wants something. And it's the same thing with consoles. There's always going to be fanboys for everything. You know, mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what we say. You know,
I think as a fan also, you know, you should, you know, somebody who actually loves these sorts of things, you should also be able to question those things at the same time. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, well, that's the problem.
You should also be able to be critical of the things that these guys do.
Oh yeah, yeah, they should, but that's not how it usually works. We see that in politics. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very hard for people that have been rooting for one side for so long to then point out the flaws, because then they'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. They'll just say, yeah, but they're gonna work it out. Uh-huh. Yeah, but no, I think the things will be fine. It's like, yeah, but is it fine now? You know, is it now? Like right now, like, yeah, we saw what happened with Xbox. The first party titles just weren't there. That happened now. Are they going to come down the road? Yes, we know that for sure. We saw the studios. They're working on shit. But at this moment, it doesn't look good. You know, so people just have to accept it the way it is. You know, I loved Xbox for a long time, but it just didn't have the games that I wanted. So I started focusing on the PS4. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as a battle. I didn't see it as like, oh, shit, I'm jumping. I just saw it as like, this is where I want to play now. That's all. And I spend a lot of time playing on Switch and shit doesn't have Chibos or anything. You know what I mean? But I like the fact that I could play things on the go and it's fun and whatever. I mean, just enjoy whatever you want. That's it.
Yeah, man. You know, you're probably a traitor for that, Adam.
You know? Fuck it. A traitor for what? I still have it. I didn't sell the shit. I didn't smash it on YouTube or anything. You know, you see these dumbass idiots doing that shit. They're like, yeah, fuck, dude, they traded me. You know what? Watch this. And they use a sledgehammer or something, or they throw the shit out the window of a car or something. Yeah, I'm done with them. What are you doing? That's money you spent. You know what I mean? You think they give a shit? You think Sony and Microsoft give a shit? No.
Yeah, you went out and smashed their console in. Yeah, they're like, fuck, we already got the money.
Exactly. We already got your money. You bought the shit. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Yeah. By the way, Captain Tony Lemon, we don't take live questions on this show, bro. He's in the Discord right now, like in the chat, but it's like, yeah, we don't do that here, bro.
No live calls.
Yeah.
Is a better, because you can ask questions in the chat right here.
Yeah, yeah, you can ask right there. Just type it in right there. You're good, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, we don't do live calls.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do live calls. That's, you know, we're not a radio show. We're a podcast, bro.
You think this is the Howard Stern show?
Yeah, but we thank you for hanging out. Yeah, if you want to ask us a question, video game question, please feel free to type it in. You know, we'll answer.
And if you want to ask questions for next week on the Discord, there's a tab that's called Throw Down Your Questions.
Yes.
Put in your questions there for next week. Limited to two and only video game questions.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. So there you go, man. Now you know the rules. So let us move on to... Man, we're not going to be able to answer this fucking question.
Who's this?
Because both of these questions are about Soulsborne games, and our Soulsborne guys aren't here.
Well, I mean...
We'll try.
We'll try. Let's do it.
Okay. Starting from Demon Soul... This is from Black Metal Gamer, by the way. Who was asking why we didn't do the show last night, and because he thought last night was Sunday. He's like, what happened to the show? And then he was like, oh man, I was drinking too much. Getting drunk, motherfucker. I told you, man, you gotta cut down, man. All right. So his first question is, starting from Demon Souls to Sekiro, rank from Software's Soulsborne games in descending order. That means from the best to the worst. Here's his list. So at least we got somebody's list here.
Okay.
Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Dark Souls 3, Demon Souls, Dark Souls 2, and lastly, Sekiro. I've only played two other games, bro. So
did he mention Bloodborne? I don't remember.
He did. That's number two. That's his number two game.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So for me, I've only played two of these games. So my ranking is Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, there you go. That's my ranking.
Officially, I've only actually played one Soulsborne game, which was Bloodborne. But I'm going to say this. I've watched Chris play all those games from beginning to end. So.
All right.
But I can't list.
I've officially only played three, but Demon Souls, for Demon Souls and Bloodborne, my playthrough was negligible. I just played like maybe an hour or less of it.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I really played for a while was Dark Souls 3. So yeah, Dark Souls 3 is the only one I have.
Yeah, and Adam, you never played any of these games, right?
Nope. Nope.
Didn't you have Bloodborne?
That's it. I think you played more than I did of that when you were showing me how to play it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something about it. I want to get back. I love the world. It looked amazing, but it's just the patience and the whole strategy of moving around. I just don't know if I had time to figure it out mentally.
I think if you had a gun, you'd be a lot more accepting.
Real
gun.
Like, you mean a gun to his head to play it?
No. If we added like a Devil May Cry gun, add in a Devil May Cry type feel with it, yeah, and I'd probably spend more time in it.
A little less methodical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me read Sketch's order. So remember from best to worst,
mm-hmm.
Bloodborne, that's his number one. Okay. Dark Souls after that. Sekiro mm-hmm. after that. Demon Souls, Dark Souls 3, and Dark Souls 2. Interesting. Okay. Obviously, we invite you guys to answer this.
Dark Souls 2 is also considered probably the worst a lot.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I don't like Dark Souls 2 that much.
Interesting. All right, and the next question, still related to Soulsborne games.
Souls.
Now, in each of your favorite Soulsborne games, what are your favorite builds and favorite weapons to use?
For
me, it depends, because... I noticed that I think it was Bloodborne where the magic was overpowered, and I think I did it like a mage kind of thing for Dark Souls 3, and it was friggin' horrible. So I wish I did like a bruiser type of character, because that's like everyone that I played with like would just play the bruiser character and it looked like they were having fun while I was just on the side just trying to shoot fireballs.
Zapping them.
Yeah, well, and it was the worst.
I don't remember magic in Bloodborne. Am I wrong? Like Dark Souls has magic. I know
Dark
that.
Dark Souls 3 is the one that played.
And okay, I got you.
You had, there was an arcane thing that you could do, like make your swords flame and shit like that. But other than that, I don't remember there being any fireballs.
It was one of those games where the casters and those like the mages were all overpowered.
Hmm.
I don't know, I thought it was Bloodborne, but I know Dark Souls 3 I chose one of them and it was the worst.
Yeah. Munishin, no, we're not talking about Neo because that's not a From Software game. And technically it's not a Soulsborne game either, but I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Glorious War says Sekiro is better than everything. He says all the other games are trash. Okay.
I think here's the thing to know about that. It's quite a bit of a different animal than the Souls games. I mean the other Souls games, right? There's, you know, the game more depends on the actual skills that you have. You don't have a lot of magic. You don't have too many of these buffs and things that you can do in the game.
Yeah, so it's all about parrying. You know?
It's all about parrying and, you know, even rolling, like, rolling is kind of ineffective in that game.
Yeah. So, Manny, what were your favorite builds and weapons?
It was only Bloodborne. I would always usually pick a samurai sword if I can, but I still need to get the samurai sword from the DLC. I still haven't fully played through the DLC actually yet. But the stuff that I have, I always stuck with I like the first cleaver that you get. You know, that transforms into the one-handed knife thing. I liked that one, and I had the sword of the moonlight sword from I would use those two things. Or before that, I used that crazy like sword, that transforming sword, which was like a normal sword that you could kind of do quick things, and you could stick into the scabbard, and then it became like a cloud sword.
Yeah, that's, you know, perfect segue for me. That's the one I used. Like, once I got that, I forgot the name of it, but it's like...
The Bastard, isn't it? The Bastard?
Yeah, but yeah, basically, it had two forms, you know, and I kind of like using the scabbard version because it was like, it just hit harder, you know? Yeah,
but for me, I like the kind of quick, like the quick little, like from a quick weapon. So, and then that other weapon would be like the beef. It's like, okay, now... And just slam you with that thing.
Yeah, I just kept using the beef. You know, but that was me.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
But in the DLC, if you beat that first boss a certain way, you get the Moonlight Sword, which is like a reference to the first to Demon Souls, and before that, the game that they did before that. I can't remember the name of it. King's Quest or Kingsfield? Kingsfield.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I liked in Bloodborne. Then Dark Souls 3, I just used a sword and shield. I didn't really do anything fancy. I know you could use magic, but I'm like, I don't want to use magic. I just want to hit shit, you know.
One thing that was kind of cool about Dark Souls 3 is they did kind of import a little bit of Bloodborne. There were like trick weapons.
Yeah, and he's a little faster, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that was cool. Yeah, okay. Again, we don't have our resident experts here, you know. Mm-hmm. But Chris would agree with Black Metal Gamer that Sekiro is his least favorite. He didn't like that game very much as he did the other ones.
From what I know of it, it goes against all the different things that you kind of naturally learn from those previous Soulsborne games. You know, rolling around is your thing, you know, doing. You know, it's like if you took Bloodborne and made it more aggressive and took away a lot of the other things from the other games. So
yeah, I mean, I saw Chris's playthrough. I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing this shit.
I'm still willing to play it, but you know, just again, you know, my biggest enemy is always time.
Yes, that is the biggest foe of all. All right. G Megaforce 1, 2, 3. So his first question is, what is your favorite scary moment in a non-scary video game? He says for him, or for me, it's Primal Rage on the Super Nintendo. I remember renting this as a kid and only being able to play for like 10 minutes before I shut it off. I just remember it looking so realistic and it terrified me at the time. Damn, that's interesting.
Yo, man, you don't like dinosaurs?
Yeah, you don't like them? Man, they look real. It's too real, you know? So, Manny, do you have any scary moments from a non-scary video game?
I mean, the scariest moment in the non-scary video game, I've never really been scared by that sort of stuff. I mean, the only things that have ever scared me is whenever my fucking game doesn't work. Those are the scariest moments I've ever had. When the game starts to glitch out and you hadn't saved yet.
By the way, that's my unofficial answer. I was going to say Fallout 3, the entire thing. Like, I'm like, yo, this shit's going to crash any minute, son. Fuck. You know, like, opening a door in that game was scary because, like, this is going to crash the game, isn't it? Because usually 7 times out of 10 for the PlayStation 3, open that door, the whole fucking game crashes. So I saved like every like 10 feet, basically. So that was scary. But my answer, again, non-scary game, Eco the Dolphin 3D for Dreamcast. Scared the fuck out of me, man. Because I'm, okay, because, you know, I think I've said this on the show before. Like, one of my biggest fears is like waking up one day and I'm on a helicopter for some fucking reason and we're on top of the ocean. Somebody drops me off. I'm in fucking chains and shit. Drop me off into the ocean, and there's this big ass whale staring at me. He's not gonna hurt me. It's a whale. Whales are cool. He's just staring at me, and I die of a heart attack. You know, because I'm so fucking scared. You know.
Have you ever told anybody beside us why you are totally afraid of whales?
I have no. Well, I mean, I know why, but it's still weird because people still find it weird. But I know exactly why. You know, it's because when you're in the ocean, you can't see very well, right? It's very murky, very mysterious, right? So that's already kind of scary. Then you have this thing looking at you that you know is thinking something. That's frightening to me. If you had a whale flying outside my window right now, I wouldn't give a fuck. I could see it clearly. It's a nice, clear day, whatever. It's that way. It's that intelligence factor plus the murkiness that fucks me up. If you drop me in the ocean with a shark, I'd be like, fuck, I guess I'm dead. But I'm not going to be scared. That shark's going to do what it's going to do. You know, I understand it. It wants to eat, you know. A whale, I don't know what's going on in that fucking head. That shit is scary as a motherfucker.
Man, Pinocchio screwed me up when it comes to whales, man.
Yeah, so what was I going to say? So, yeah. So, anyway, in that fucking game, you could jump out of the water and jump back in. In 3D, I'm like, oh, fuck, no. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. So, guess what happens, son? I jump up in the air. I come down. There's a fucking whale staring at me. I turned that shit off right there. I was done. I was like, nope, nope, nope. No, fuck that shit.
Well, there was also that one VR game that drove me nuts.
Are you memoying? Let me tell you guys a story right now because I have to fill up time here. So I was playing some VR game where basically you're like a scientist and you go back in time to like Earth's oceans and explore them. There's fucking dinosaurs everywhere. I'm scared shitless, but I didn't want to look like a bitch in front of the developers, you know? So I just sucked it up. Tony just suck it up, son. So I played the shit. It feels like maybe, you know, like 10 minutes passed by. And, you know, I finished the demo. I completed the demo. And like, oh, shit. You completed the whole 45-minute demo. I'm like, dope. Apparently, other people were so scared, they just stopped playing.
So you stuck it out.
Yeah, because I didn't want to look like a bitch. You know? But I did it, though, man. Oh, man, those dinosaurs scared the fuck out of me, man. You know? But at the same time, it was cool. You know, like, oh, look at these fucking dinosaurs. But it was murky and scary, man. It's interesting, man. Thankfully, I'm not going to be in that situation unless I like owe a mob boss money or something. Hey, we're going to throw this guy over the ocean.
Hey, yo, come over here.
Yo, come over here. You know,
I got to ask you a question. You guys, do you like whales?
Yo, I love them, son. I'll fuck a whale.
We're going to take a little trip to SeaWorld, all right? Let's go.
Put some cement shoes on them. All right, Adam, what about you, man? Scary moment in a non-scary video game.
There's probably a few, but one that always comes up, and I always think of it, it has to be from the first Gears of War. and there was this one scene where we're just in a room and we're walking around and special, and then like this quick cut scene of this big ass monster just burst into a wall and just chasing after us. We're like, what the fuck is happening? We don't know how to kill it. We don't know any backstory or what's going on. It's just this big ass shit chasing after us. And you know, it's not really a horror game. It's just, you know, you just kill shit. But that moment, it scared the shit out of us. It's like, sure, where do we go? I don't know. And that's one where you have to like sort of play like a almost like a bull type of situation where like you're the matador, you know? You have to have the thing run at you and then dodge out the way so it can burst through a wall and then you could run through it. But it took us a while to figure that shit out because we didn't know what we were doing. It was just chasing us. So that was it.
Yeah. By the way, EcoFriend789, he goes, you laugh, but Shamu will wreck your shit. I seen Orca, son. I know. I seen that fucking movie based on a true story, Ben.
What's Orca? Orca?
Orca, you don't remember? Orca was basically was Jaws with a killer whale.
Yeah.
That movie fucked me up. That movie fucked me up more. See, Jaws, the fucking shark looked fake, you know?
Well, and it's like, did you see?
You know, see Orca was a whale, you know?
Well, forget about that. Did you see the documentary Blackfish? That's about the whales, the real situation of the whales.
Yeah, but Black, Carlos, you know Blackfish, right? Tully,
you know?
That's the only Blackfish I know.
Yo, man, shout out to the Blackfish, man.
You know?
I don't even know if he's... Well, I'm not going to spoil
it. Don't spoil it, you know? The books, there's still a lot of people that are still alive.
Yeah.
You know?
For me...
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
For me, it's like... I don't know if this counts. Bioshock? The original Bioshock?
That game can be scary, though.
It's weird. It's because it kind of walks the line. It does have a bit of a spookiness to it.
Yeah, right off the bat, once you get there, a creature runs at you.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not technically a horror game, but it gets close. It's like kind of like a survival horror game in a way. And yeah, man, everything about that game is just terrified me. It just made me want to beat the, like, I just wanted, like, sometimes you play a video game and you want to stay in it for a while and just bask in the whole, like, greatness of the game. But in Bioshock, I just wanted to beat that shit because I was like, man, I don't want to be in this world anymore.
Yeah, no, there's moments in that game where you're walking, you know, like, over those pipes or whatever, and you see the whales, like, nah, son, I can't.
Yo, they got the whales.
Yeah, they got whales. GZDR, dog jumping through Resident Evil doesn't count because that's a scary game. That game is meant to scare you.
Yeah.
You know? We're talking about like, you know, a dude getting scared playing Tetris or something. Oh, those fucking bricks! Oh man! All right.
It wasn't scary, but it was. It was intimidating. I don't know if that makes sense.
Friday the 13th, man.
Oh, yeah, that was meant to be scary, and it scared the shit out of me, even though it didn't scare anyone else. And this one's a fun one. Remember when we were playing Monster Hunter? We streamed this shit too. When the two, I forgot what the hell their names were, but it was like two freaking of those bird things that were fighting. They were fighting each other, and we were just watching them. And then somehow, like they just decided to like go in unison and create this like mega plasma explosion. I was like, what the hell?
Yes.
That shit took me off guard, man. That shit was crazy.
Yeah, that game's crazy. Barry Burton. Yeah, I'll throw this in here right now. Which was scarier, Super Mario Brothers, Goombas, or the trailer for Sonic?
I'm assuming it's talking about the movie
version.
Yeah, yes. The movie. Yeah,
and it's definitely the Goombas because those things have left imprinted a freaking horror image in my head since I was a kid, man.
Yeah, it's the little heads, man. It creeped the fuck out of me, dude.
Yeah, man. Not to mention that movie was horrible. So it's just like everything. It was a perfect storm of horribleness.
That movie was bad. What about you guys? Goombas or Sonic?
I'll say the Goombas.
Adam?
Maybe Sonic, and not so much of just what we saw, but just the future of Sonic. Like, if let's say that was to come out and take off and the current generation were accepting of it, that would be it. That would be the Sonic. And then we would be reminiscing of the Sonic that we liked of old.
Yeah, thankfully they're going to rework
it. Yeah, thankfully, you know? Yeah. Thankfully, the older generation was very vocal, because I'm sure the younger generation don't give two shits.
Yeah,
like, oh, well, no, I think what will happen and what would happen in general if it did, if people didn't complain as much, people they would have just took their kids to it, like, you know, who remembered it. That's what that nostalgia stuff does, you know. That's why they bring back a thing like Woody Woodpecker and Chipmunks and stuff like that.
Woody Woodpecker was so bad.
That's why they bring those things back, because people have, you know, our generation who are moms and dads now, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They remember these things and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember watching this as a kid. Oh, it was, you know, it was fun. Let's take the kid to see it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question. What is your favorite method of storytelling in games? Among the numerous methods of storytelling in games, from flashback sequences to inconspicuous tape recorders strewn about the environment to text boxes, what is your favorite? Very interesting question.
It's like form fits the function. What do I think that works the best for, you know, like this kind of story they tell? You know, like BioShock seems to kind of work pretty well with their little tape recorder thing, but I also think that those sorts of things get a little bit redundant. It's like everybody's recording their deepest thoughts in these mm-hmm. tape recorders, and then you know, also remember Resident Evil, the way they told their external storytelling was through journals. And again, I thought the same thing. It's like everybody's keeping journals, you know.
This is
favorite was the Division, when you would find those cell phones and you would hear these stories of like, oh, you know, help, I need help here, I'm stuck in this place, or I can't get there, or I'm looking for so and so, because they weren't just stories, you could actually track them. So if you mm-hmm. found a cell phone, it was like, yeah, you know, well, I made it to the third floor and I'm banging around, I can't find anything, but if you get this, you know, come find me, you know, if you can't. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in that building. And there's a window. So then I go up there, and next you know, find out person's gone, but I see all these goodies there, you know, in a bag. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess they came up here and something happened. And then you find stuff. But it was cool. You wanted to hear those stories. Could lead you to something good.
Yeah. By the way, that gong was from Adam. by the way, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because those are the things I like just skip. I'm like, don't care, you know. You know, in the Division specifically. My answer is going to get people mad because it's so stupid. Even I'm like, Tony, you can't come up with a better answer than that. But mm-hmm. just being honest, cinema is just a regular ass cinema. Just regular ass cinema, man. You know, because when you try to tell, to me at least, when you try to tell the story in the game, since you're paying attention to the game, you're not paying attention to the story. The cinema's like, here's your story. So, maybe it's because I just grew up with movies or whatever, but I just prefer that. Even though to answer the question realistically, I do like when, you know, in an open world game specifically, when you're traveling from place to place and the characters have a conversation with you, you know, and to give you some story stuff. That's cool, you know, but generally, just give me a cinema, you know.
I'm a fan of like a double, like, you know, a combination of a lot of those different things, where because I feel like there wouldn't just be one of storytelling, you know, within the game that, you know, that expands the world, because you can't stop every single moment to give a person a cinematic. You know what I mean? So like, I like the idea of like, you not only pick up like an audio journal, you know, or something like that, or some sort of conversation or internal game conversation that kind of expands the sort of story. I feel like all those things are effective ways to kind of make the world seem a lot larger than it actually is. You know,
I'm not a fan of like those audio logs or journals when they tell like really pivotal and important story plots.
Yes.
I just prefer them when they expand on that world, and because it's like
it's a smaller story. It's a smaller story in a bigger world. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like, I mean, I guess, you know, like in like Last of Us used it quite a bit, or they had like little logs that you could find of different people's lives, you know, talking about themselves and about the events that happened before the, you know, before the game took place. I feel like those things are really great, but yeah, when you start putting a dumb revelation inside of a audio log, like they did in Metal Gear Solid 5, I find those kind of lazy.
Yeah, and it, like the horror, like what it, what is it, the horse in the room? What is that, that phrase called?
Elephant in the room? Yeah.
The elephant in the room, when Tony mentioned cinematics, is Metal Gear Solid 4. And for me, I actually liked it a lot. Yeah. It was like, okay, I'm playing through the game. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Taking care of business. And then I take a break and relax and just let all this story and plot feeding into my brain. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind taking, especially for a 20, 30, 40 hour experience. If I get several hours of cutscenes, I don't care.
Yeah, that's the way I see it too, bro.
I've always saw cutscenes as like a reward.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually cutscenes are usually at the beginning and the end of a section, right?
Yeah.
And I always follow those as like the reward. It's like, okay, the cinematic is to set you up, and then the end cinematic is to reward you for completing the level.
I think the only time I ever heard anyone complain about cutscenes, and we all know this, was the Metal Gear for PS3. People complain. They were like, oh, it's all cutscene. What is
that? That's four.
That's four, yeah. That's what we're talking about.
I'm like, but don't you want to see the cool? Yeah, it's more cutscene than game. I'm like, I played it. I don't think so, but whatever. People bixed.
Yeah, you know what our people are, man.
You know what I hate?
Oh, good.
Good.
It's a little bit of a deviation, but it's kind of the same topic. I hate when, especially, I think Square is the one that does this the most, is when they have badass cutscenes at the beginning and the end, and in the middle it seems like they just took a freaking like downgraded like cutscenes in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, that's, you know, because obviously they're gonna spend the most money on the beginning and end, and then you get that one in the middle too. It's like, oh shit, like why can't the whole game look like this?
Persona, you know? Did that a lot too.
Yeah. Wait, which one?
4 and 5. Those are the only ones I played.
Oh,
they had badass cutscenes. Maybe they had it more than like Final Fantasy, but like there's so few like really.
Oh, you mean the anime things? Yeah.
The anime ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Let me read some of the comments. We're getting some comments in here. Sketch, we'll get you, bro. The eco friend says my least favorite is Destiny, where the lore is on a web page outside the game. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, well, you know that game. That game had bullshit. You know what happened with that game? A lot of that game was had been rewritten. I actually know somebody worked on that game, and he's, you know, some of the stuff that he wrote a lot of the flavor text for a lot of the items and things like that. And from what he said, that a lot of that stuff was just because they switched around the story of the game, and then they had to put it out somewhere to kind of develop it. Yeah, but yeah, they ended up putting it all on a dumb website. Who's gonna read the fucking website?
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck. By the way, Manny, you're gonna like this because you didn't like this in this game. Mm-hmm. Sketch says God of War had a great system with the boat conversations. I know you didn't like that one specifically.
I mean, I thought it was okay, but I feel like, you know, I don't mind the things. I just like, it was, I always talk about this where you can see the hand of the person making it, because it's obvious that they're trying to stretch out your gameplay a little bit by slowing down your progress by putting you in a boat. You know what I mean? So
that's an interesting way of seeing it.
They put all this stuff, like, come on. If you were able to run to all those locations, you'd get there a lot more quicker than in that silly ass boat.
Yeah.
So that you're not constantly, because obviously you probably never looked at any of the lore things that he wrote in his little journal, right?
No.
So yeah. So what do you do with it? So you put it all inside of the, you
know, I didn't even know Atreus had a lore thing, to be honest.
You can go into there's a section where Atreus writes all about all the monsters, and he also writes lore about, you know, those little things, those collectibles that you get, or he's like, boy, read it. Those things you can read about all this crazy Norse shit inside of the book.
I had no idea.
So yeah, so what they do is they put a lot of that information also into the conversations, and you can also read the conversation again and got a, you know, in the book, like, oh, you know, this conversation I had with blah blah blah. So he keeps a journal.
Yeah,
I personally like
those things, you know, because again, you're gonna just stay on a boat and just be bored listening, you know, like
the only reason why I didn't like it is because I could see what it was, and then I could see what they were doing, and it kind of annoyed me a little bit.
I see what you're saying, Manny, but I actually kind of liked it.
I like them a lot. You know,
personally,
you want them to just be silent on the boat.
No, it's not that. They're talking. You know what annoyed me about it is because they're talking about all this fucking cool shit that's happened all before that, right? And you're only fighting the same boss twice in the game. That's why I didn't like it, because they're talking about dragons. They're talking about all this crazy shit, right? This supposedly happened before this, and we're just fighting some douchebag in a beard.
Oh, how about this? Let's say you get on the boat. You're like, okay, we're gonna sail to this spot, mm-hmm. and like they start talking about, like, they have a conversation, and then like right as like the story starts, it jumps into a cutscene, and then like it shows what they're talking about, and then after the cutscene's over, it just like finishes the conversation in the boat, and then they're in their destination.
Well, that would be an old way of doing it. That'd be like old days of doing it, like where you get in the boat and then they get in the boat, they have the conversation, and that's like,
yeah, that's the loading screen.
That's the loading screen in the new area.
Yeah, but people wouldn't go with that now.
No, people wouldn't accept that.
They wouldn't accept that nowadays.
It's so funny. It's so funny. People don't accept that sort of stuff, right? But yet, in all those things, all Red Dead Redemption, having you ride across the whole world to get to a mission, all that is just extender of the game.
Well, they wanted you to interact with the world because they put all that stuff on the road. So but if you're on the road,
but if you think about,
yeah, because if you have an open world game, you need something to fill it out.
Here's the thing: if you somehow were able to condense all the different sorts of missions into one smaller area, the game wouldn't actually be nearly as long as it is.
Oh no, that's true. But again, that's just your problem with open world games in general. You know. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like, you know, kind of like me, like, there's inherent things in certain genres I can't get over. That's just your thing, which is fine.
I'm back on the boat thing. Yeah, the biggest thing about it was that they were talking about all this really awesome shit that we weren't doing in the game. We're just fighting the same old enemies over and over again and all this other stuff. There's all this crazy ass lore about, you know, Zeus and all that stuff, which is great to know, but how come we're not doing that?
You mean Jesus?
Yeah, or Odin this time around.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Odin.
Yeah.
So I have a question for someone in the panel.
Uh-oh.
Tony Polanco.
Oh no.
Do you consider God of War 2018 or 20 whatever year came out? Yeah, 2018, an open world game?
No.
No.
Okay, that's good. Okay, we can move on.
That's not an open world game.
No, it's a large world, but it's not open. You can't. You know, you can go anywhere. You can go mostly anywhere you want, but it's a very sort of designed experience. You know, in other words, there's, for the most part, there's only one way to get to a location. That's where Red Dead, there's like multiple ways you can come into an area any different way you want.
Yo, Carlos, you notice how I didn't even hesitate answering that one?
Yeah,
that shit is not open world, man. You crazy?
No, it's not open world. There's an openness to it, especially when you get into that area where the boat is, but there's really not. Like, there's only one way to climb up to one place. There's only one way to, there's only one trail that goes to Freya's house, stuff like that. And that's why it's not an open world.
Yeah. Yeah. The guys in the chat they don't agree with you, Manny, but it's cool.
Oh, about what?
About the God of War thing. But unlike Brett, you didn't piss them off. They just disagree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just the way I kind of see it. I didn't.
They said they said your complaint is at least sane. You know?
I just think about it this way. It's like, it's all these really awesome things that you're talking about in the thing. And I'm like, I want to do those things. Like, you ever have those situations where in a story in or a book, there's all this funky lore that everybody keeps talking about in something, right? And it's something that you never actually get to experience.
Well, you can't, because it happened in the past.
It happened in the past, but I'm just like, I kind of want to see some of this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in comparison, all the awesome stuff they're talking about that happened in the past kind of makes all the stuff that you're currently doing kind of look like, you just picked up a head. You just picked up a head off a tree.
Yeah. All right, moving on here to Sketch, my man. All right, are any of you guys looking forward to Nioh 2? And what features do you hope they have worked into the game? Even with the Soulsborne guys here, I don't think any of us have played Nioh, have we?
I it's still in the wrapper. I have it. I still haven't. And they're already making a sequel? Damn.
Yeah, the beta is already out.
Shit.
Oh yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter like tweeting, "Oh, I got in the beta. I got in the beta."
Damn.
Damn. Got in the beta.
Yeah. Beta. I didn't play the first one. I'm not playing it. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm not a samurai guy. Like, why do you think I didn't buy Sekiro? I'm like, you know. And even with Ghost of Tsushima, I'm gonna get it, but it's like, you know, not really into that stuff.
Tony's not into ancient shit.
No, I'm into ancient shit. I'm not into feudal things. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Ancient stuff like ancient Greece, ancient Rome, I'm down with that shit all day, every day.
But you're not too keen on knights and shit, right?
No, that's not ancient. That's medieval. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
Ancient stuff is cool. Medieval stuff, medieval, feudal, whatever, you know? I mean, there's always exceptions rules. I love Samurai Showdown. I'm hyped for that new game, you know? Ninja Scroll, obviously. Seven Samurai, the original movie, all that stuff is fantastic. But in general, I'm like, I don't care about this shit, you know?
Would you...
What's up?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, that's all good. I totally forgot what I was going to say anyway.
Let me read some of these comments. GZDR says, I like how Quantum Break incorporated the 20-minute TV episodes into the gameplay to tell a bigger story from the villain's point of view. I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I thought that was an interesting aspect of it, you know, that they had this TV show that kind of sort of changed itself depending on some of the decisions that you made throughout the game.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Glorious War says, A Song of Ice and Fire is more epic in the past than in the present.
It's true.
I agree. And I'm shocked as hell why someone doesn't decide to make a game about anything with this world other than those Telltale games.
Yeah, right.
It's like there's so much you can do with these games. Like,
well, you know the reason why they did the Telltale games based on the character,
because they want to get Peter Dinklage in there.
They wanted to get Peter Dinklage number one in there, and the thing is that's the thing that everybody recognizes. If you just filled up the game with a bunch of people that nobody knows, then everybody goes like, "Oh, I want to play as Tyrion. I want to play as Daenerys."
Yeah,
pretty much. But I mean, those Telltale games, you couldn't even play with anybody, really.
Yeah, but they want to incorporate them in there. That's why they did that. Yeah, like, hey, where are the White Walkers? Where's Jon Snow?
You know? Hey, yo, where are these guys?
Oh, man.
I mean,
even in the Walking Dead game, they felt the need to throw in, like, Herschel and a bunch of, you know, when what's-his-face, the guy with the ball cap in there.
Yeah. Jesus was in one of the when they did the spin-off version that wasn't part of the whole thing. I forgot the name of it, but it was the one right before the last one that we just had.
The Michonne one?
No, the other one.
I skipped all that shit.
Yeah, Michonne was Michonne from Walking Dead, but I mean the other one where it was just the Walking Dead universe from the Telltales and how they would add some of the real characters from the comic, and Jesus was added in that one.
Jesus, man.
Jesus.
Frontier. I remember that one.
I just don't get why they don't make a video game. And now that it ended, it's like, it's not going to have as much hype, but Oh, by the way, do we have a lot of other questions left?
We actually really do. Shit.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. We're actually at the halfway point. We're going to give you a full show tonight, people. Neo, sorry, bro. None of us are really interested.
I was interested in the first one, but sometimes I make these sorts of decisions where I'm like, you know, if I'm interested in it and I'm mildly interested in it, I usually kind of don't, you know, pull the trigger on it because, again, it's like I ain't got no time, man.
You gotta be fully interested, you know?
Yeah, so that's why it's kind of been like, you know, like the last game was the last two games that I bought, most recent things was Red Dead and then Kingdom Hearts. And then whatever, I know I'm going for Control is the next one.
Yes. All right, let's move on. Oh, yeah, I just counted the questions. We're literally at the halfway point now. All right, next up, More Ham, who's always in the chat giving us stories to talk about for the week's show. We appreciate that, man. This one's a little bit of a complicated question. Okay, currently consoles hold a 10% tariff. If a 15% increase happens, do you think console makers outside of the United States will take the hit on hardware margins or pass it on to the consumers?
Always goes to consumers, man. And I heard it was 25%.
Yeah, I heard 25% also.
Yeah, no, we're going to get the hit. We always get the hit. They don't give a shit. They're going to give it to us.
Okay, so it's 25% then. That's right.
It's definitely going to be the consumer. They're not going to. I mean, I'm assuming. Like, let's say for example, the PS5 launches with all the specs that it's announced to have, like with all these features, and they launch it at what Manny and Tony say is like the best offer for the consumer, which is $400. So I'm pretty sure if they do release that at $400, they're selling it at a loss, and they're gonna take another loss because of these tariff shits.
Did not happen.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
The only way the tariff stuff will ever work is if somehow they were somehow manufacturing those consoles here in the States. Where, in other words, where it's like they're, and you know, in other words, they're maybe putting together the consoles here in the States like Nintendo does.
That's still a stretch because you still got to get other parts and components that are made over there.
Yeah.
So I think if anything, we'll start seeing once they advertise the price, and then they'll, just like what we see whenever a network is competing to stay on your cable provider, where it's like, hey, contact your cable provider if you want us, because they want to jack up the rates and da da da. We'll probably see something like that. Hey, contact your congressman and tell him that you're not happy with this and that you want a settlement done or something, because this is too expensive. But I'm sure we have big box retailers that are already putting up that fight. You know, Walmart, Best Buy. This is where they make their money. And when you start adding 25% tax on these electronic devices, where they're going to make their money? No one's going to buy this shit. They're going to be like, you know what? I'm going to hold off until this gets resolved, because eventually it will get resolved. But no one's going to buy anything within that time span.
Actually, I have a question for someone in the chat. Glorious Wart, like, you know how Australia, the prices over there for video games in general is just crazy. So I wonder if it's because of tariffs or for some other reason. Maybe it could be like an example for everyone.
Yeah. Ask them, is it for just physical, or the same applies for digital? Because physical, I get, because packaging and, like, you know, transport and stuff, but digital is digital.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, I think it's mostly for the consoles that this is a huge blow. If they would increase the tariffs on those, I don't know.
But I know one thing, that word spread all over the internet when they came out.
He says it's not tariffs for
Australia. It's not tariffs. Sure.
You know, what were you going to say about it?
I'm thinking is that since word spread and everyone's all nervous about this, I could see a lot of people just saying, you know what, I was holding off on getting that Switch or that Xbox or whatever it was, and just get it now. Or even if it's a TV or anything that you know it's manufactured overseas, just get it now. Because if this is going to affect, I think it's like June, within the first week or second week of June, then, and that jacks up, you're asked out if you want to pay that extra. So you may want to jump on those deals now.
Yeah, I don't understand what they plan to achieve with that sort of stuff. I mean, if we're going to start manufacturing stuff here in the States, what is that? That also means that the things are going to go up regardless, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, you're
damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You can get everything made up in China, but you got a 25% thing on there. So what happens? Are they going to somehow give a big discount to companies that decide to manufacture here in the States? I mean, that, you know, if you give a big discount, that still doesn't compensate the workforce for that, you know.
Yeah, and not to mention a lot of those other parts, you know, like I said, are not even made here. So even if you manufacture, you still have to import the parts needed to manufacture the whatever product you're trying to create.
Yeah, like there's in China, there are literally whole I don't want to call it states, but regions of China that are devoted to making specific types of electronics, like Shenzhen, China, or there's another part of China which specializes in just making fucking toys.
Oh, yeah. And clothes and Nike sneakers and all kinds of stuff.
And all the shops in those areas sell the parts that you would need to make this stuff. In fact, there's actually a YouTuber. I can't remember his name. Oh, it's okay. It's called Strange Parts. And this guy, he lives in Shenzhen, China. And that's the capital of the cell phones in the world. So one of his things that he did was he went around to all these different shops to see if he can build his own iPhone just from the parts that he bought from all these different manufacturers of these different things. Like, one place makes the chips, one place makes the boards, all these different things just to make this phone to see if he could do it. So it's an interesting idea. But yeah, like places like that where you get all these different ports to make, you know, boards and all kinds of other stuff. Yeah. How much is that going to cost? That's going to affect the whole industry. That affects that affects PCs, you know, not only just game consoles and stuff like that.
You know, it just comes down to accepting which countries are best at whatever they produce. Like we're Hollywood, right? The US is all about Hollywood. We produce the best movies around the world. That's just the way it is. And that's what we have, you know, and we have the internet and stuff, but then there's places like China, which is great for manufacturing. That's just the way it is. I understand he wants to get a better deal and this whole thing, but you don't understand. It's like so many of our products are made in China, or at least components of our products are made in China. It's just been like that. It's established. So if you try to fight against it, it's a losing battle because it's everywhere. The impact is going to be greater on us.
All right, man. Moving on here. Drunken Demon, a.k.a. Brian Monjomo, who's not with us, but he wanted to leave us some questions. I feel we've been asked this question before, but I'll ask it anyway. What video game do you think would make a good TV show?
What video game would you think would make a great TV show?
Tony. I was going to say The Last of Us. That'd be a good TV show.
But where would it go?
The same place The Walking Dead went for 8 seasons.
Exactly. Straight to hell. No, you got to go with something that, like, a continuous killing machine, like Uncharted. You know, it's like he's always finding that something. It's like Indiana Jones, you know?
Yeah, that
always looking for something, fighting different groups. And then, all right, next week, different type of
Different type of treasure.
Yeah, different treasure. There you go.
Yeah, it'll be like an old school show, you know?
It would essentially be like that Tia Carrere show. What was it? The Relic Hunter, or what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Tia Carrere had that show on there, and that's all she did. Each week she'd be going after something.
That's it. That's all they have to do. That's it. And Nathan Fillion, he could play that part. That's it.
He's TV
guy. He could do all that.
He's TV guy.
Let's see. Who would I say? This is just any video game, right?
Hold on. Let me see. Are you sure here? Yeah, any video game. Doesn't matter.
I would go with, they tried it already, but I think there's so much to that world. I would definitely think they could go with it. Go with Halo again.
Yeah,
Halo. Like, there's so much like backstory to all the freaking those Halos and all that other stuff.
Ah, yeah, that'd
be really cool.
They tried it with that Locke series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is an obvious one especially for us. It's Mass Effect.
Yeah,
that would be crazy. Yeah.
You know, like, what if you developed the whole world, like, you know, you went into all these different stories. You don't even need to have Shepard in the show. You can even talk about him.
Yeah, just don't let BioWare work on it. That's all.
I have a good one. I think Assassin's Creed will work as a TV series. No, that's the thing. Every episode could be a different setting, you know?
Yeah, you could
put it in the Twilight Zone.
you could do it in, like, okay, you could do one that's like an ancient Greece. Right, you can do one that's in like even actually maybe
every,
not
even, every season every could be season something. Yeah,
every season can be a different place.
Exactly.
Tony, hold on. So would you include, and this is to me this is a deal breaker, Assassin's Creed TV show, would you include the present time shit?
You have no choice but to do that.
Yeah, no,
you have no choice, because that's the framing device for all. Yeah,
exactly.
Of
that. Yeah, that's it.
That. Yeah,
that's always been my least favorite part of.
But you need that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the framing device, you know. But Assassin's Creed. I'm gonna go with that one. Assassin's.
What's that game called? The Order. 1886.
I think so too. I think that'd work.
That would work actually. That'd be pretty.
Like,
dope.
there's all this development on how the Order did, and it really didn't appear. In the game.
Yeah, that kind of sucked because they kind of set up a lot versus not much. Like,
you know,
to pay off. Only got like a game.
Yeah, pretty much. Eco Friend says he would love a Cuphead cartoon. That'd be interesting.
That'd be cool.
Glorious War says a Lundra anime or Sly Cooper. I don't know why you tossed the anime in there, but Sly Cooper cartoon would be interesting, you know, for the kids. Mm-hmm. For the kids. Yeah. Any other shows? He didn't say name one. You can name as many as we want.
You know, it's funny. There's so many that you could totally make a Kingdom Hearts anime series. Why not? I don't know why they never did it before.
Yeah, you can make a Persona.
Yeah, you can do persona. Well, they've already done it.
Actually, I dropped that one. It was like the anime, because I started watching the Persona 5 anime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just the same shit as what's in the fucking game.
It's all it is what's in the game, just adapted into a movie and into a series.
Yeah, so I was like,
Well, now you get to know the right way to do it.
Yes.
You just follow the movie and then the series.
Tank says he totally forgot about how bad the Assassin's Creed movie was.
Oh, that was so bad.
I didn't even bother with it.
I didn't watch it. I heard that was 60% present. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's supposed to be like 10% at most, man. Y'all fucked up the formula.
Well, that's them saving budget.
But... Yeah, that was saving budget. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
That's them like, well, we can't do like... We can't CG all of, I don't know what era it was supposed to be. We can't constantly be CGing this place. All right, let's make it in the future.
Yeah, I know they said majority of their budget went to just doing the whole stunt scene of the guy diving off the top of a tower to do that. Because they were like, oh, we paid a guy. We really did it. We did no CG. I'm like, all right, whatever.
But yeah, what are they talking about?
That doesn't save the movie.
So they jumped the guy off of the thing, and then all of a sudden they added up. They said they did no CG on him, but there's all that CG in that whole thing. I mean, I swear that the stuff I saw, all that past shit looked like it was in front of a blue screen. Yeah. So why'd you even bother for?
So stupid. All right, next question from Mr. Brian: what game mechanics do you think should make a return? So I guess it's got to be game mechanics that aren't really used anymore. I've been struggling with this question. We've been
asked that before.
Yeah, but I don't think we come up with an answer, because I can't think of one.
Well, I mean, I think you would have said the game mechanic of the what's his face, the Nemesis system. I remember you guys saying that.
That's true.
Sort of question.
Yeah.
And the other version of this, I remember the idea of from Wolverine.
Yeah.
Where you keep fighting the same enemy and then they become easier to beat.
Yeah, that's true. But that's not... See, the thing is, I can't come back, because it was never really a thing, Neither was really the Nemesis system, if you think about it. But you can also answer it that way, too.
He didn't say a thing, though. No, he just said a game mechanic.
He said game mechanic, yeah. Yeah, because, see, I took it as, like, a game mechanic that used to be a thing and isn't anymore. That's how I interpreted it. But I can't think of anything, because all the game mechanics we used to have are still kind of around in some shape or form. Nothing's really gone away.
Yeah, no, especially not on the Switch. We got all these damn platformers. Holy shit. It's like another Metroidvania comes out like every other week.
Yeah, right. Couch co-op would be a game mechanic, but that's still around. Not as much as it used to be, but that's still around.
It's still there.
It's still around. It's
huge on Switch because of the Joy-Con support.
Joy-Con boys. Joy-Con boys.
Whoosh.
Whoosh, Etika, man.
Sucker-free Sunday. Fuck. Finish it all day. Damn.
All right, man. Moving on here. Oh, okay, so I purposely grouped all these questions together because they're all about E3. Oh, shit. We're finally getting questions.
E3, the movie.
The movie. How is this possible? We're finally getting E3 questions.
I forgot to just add a little, because we just talked about E3. It doesn't even link to any of this shit. I don't know why. It just popped up in my head.
Adam,
console Wars. Remember? We know about that. The book. Right? You had that. We were giving it away on the show and the whole thing. Remember, it was being pitched as a movie. Yeah. They scrapped it. Now it's being pitched as a miniseries.
Ooh, that's even better.
So the plan is, they're filming it now, is to try to pitch it to Netflix or whoever wants it, but they're doing it as a miniseries.
That's good. That I think that's a better thing than a movie, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it'll work out better.
That's all. The Happy Place. That's all I'm saying, man. The Happy Place.
That's what I'm saying. I hope they do it right.
Yeah. All right. So first up, Mr. Moham. So pre-E3 hype has been quiet, though we already know many studios will be missing this year. Is there anything you are still hyped to see?
Well, CD Projekt Red is going to actually have Cyberpunk on the show floor, which is cool.
Final Fantasy VII as well.
Right? Final Fantasy VII, supposedly.
I think that's my answer. Like, oh, that's cool. That's something.
And I'm going to go around. I'm going to go around and see what's what. I'm going to go wait in some stuff, some stupid ass lines.
Oh man,
see what I could do.
Rich said he is going.
He is going. Yeah, very interesting.
I'll hook up. We'll hook up and get some food.
Yeah, man. Whatchamacallit? Yard House, man. Don't break the tradition. I don't really, except for And it's funny because I never cared about Final Fantasy VII, but this year's just, there's a reason I'm not going this year, people. I'm like, fucking nothing happening this year. You know?
Yo, man, there's stuff happening. It's just, you know.
Okay, there's something I care about happening, you know. Next year I'll be back though when all the shit starts popping.
Watch it be like there's some sort of hidden megaton that I find there. I'm like, yo, this shit they just said.
Like, and yo, you can just walk up and talk and play it.
I don't know if we talked about this, but I know a lot of people complaining because after Manny, you confirmed about the whole Final Fantasy VII that it is episodic.
Yes, two episodes.
All right, so because I was thinking, well, maybe it's just per disc. From winning, because it was like three or four discs. I remember.
It was three discs.
Three discs.
Yeah.
So
Adam, maybe the first episode ends where disc one ends. In the old game.
Okay.
It ends there. And then if you remember,
flying boat, the flying ship.
Well, when I'm gonna say because they already said it, when Eris dies, that's when that's when ends. You know. Also, and Manny pointed this out, the third disc is just like the final boss, so it doesn't make sense to have three games for that. You know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't care.
I'm looking forward to it too, man. I'm not like mega hype like everybody. I'm like, I'll play it. It'll be fun, you know.
It would be Final Fantasy. What do they call it? Final Fantasy 7 Disc 1 or you know.
It's going to be a faster version, that's for sure, since it has the Final Fantasy 15 combat. You know, just run around and start slicing dice.
That's why they said they supposedly added a bunch of additional side things.
Skull and Bones. I played that shit last year. I'm good.
I'm just hyped for all the Microsoft stuff.
That's true.
You know why, Adam? Because they
gotta have something.
You gotta have something. I'm looking forward to find out their partnership with Nintendo and how that's gonna pan out. I'm sure this is what we'll find out.
Gotta have some.
This is gonna be it. And I don't know if you guys saw that leak that came out supposedly from Ubisoft about that roller derby game. They got a roller derby, one of their new exclusives. Yeah, some footage and some screenshots got released. Well, mainly screenshots of some game that looks like a roller derby game. And that's something that they're gonna be releasing at E3, a new IP.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Adam, that's what you're hyped for E3?
I'm hyped for the Ubisoft because they said they're going to announce some new stuff and they always, you know, deliver. So far, they've been delivering on their titles. And just to find out what Microsoft is working on, their partnership with Nintendo and their hardware. I'm sure we're going to hear about their hardware.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but that's it.
We'll come back to Microsoft, but we got another question about them. Carlos, that's your answer. You're hyped for Microsoft?
Yeah, I think they're out of everyone, I think they have the most to show. Because I mean, obviously, we're not going to get Sony.
Sony ain't gonna drop a megaton because they ain't got nothing after.
Yeah, I don't have faith for. I don't know. Is EA gonna do anything?
EA's no,
got another Madden.
EA still is doing EA Play, but they're not doing a press conference this year.
Yeah, they're not doing a press conference. So you can go to EA Plays and you know check it out because as I remember, it's free. So
I think Microsoft is the only one that can actually just. Keep us in at least not for Manny because he's going to be in the ground over the groundwork over there. But for us over here, in the field exactly. But for us like that are just chilling in our freaking in our rooms and watching on the computer, it's like there's no other company that could really wow us or anything. Microsoft is the only one that has the potential to do it.
Because remember, last year when we sat and we watched it, they presented all these great ideas of things that they're going to work on. They got the new studios and they got the new services they had planned. Well, now we get to see some of that come to pass. Let's see, what do they have? This is it.
Yeah.
Show and tell time.
Yeah. All right. Next question here. Tennessee Sooner. What was the biggest E3 announcement that you can remember? Here's the answer. $2.99.
Yep. $2.99. Megaton. such a big Megaton. Tony's gone.
Everybody got the joke.
No, I'm trying to remember if there's been a lot over the years.
Well, that's like a big one, like right now.
I'm trying to think of the
By the way, for you younger kids, basically that was Sony's answer to Sega Saturn. The guy literally come up on stage, said $2.99, and walked off.
As opposed to, he actually did have this whole lead up to it, and he just said, nah, $2.99.
He just left. It was amazing. You know? And then obviously go ahead.
No, it wasn't. I was gonna say with the Xbox 360, when the guy came out with the jacket and the chair, the lounge chair, and he just sat down, it was a group of people around him. But I think that was a special event. I don't know if that was at E3. Do you remember that, Carlos? When he came out with the hoodie and the blazer, I forgot his name.
Nah, I don't remember.
He was the spokesperson and he had like a lounge chair. Like,
I don't remember that either.
And he just came out and he says, I'm going to tell you about this new thing we're working on. And then he's just like really chill about the whole thing. And he says, this is the Xbox 360. And it was so weird, but I'm like, oh, wow, that was pretty fast.
Oh, that must have been like 2005 or 4.
Name. He was their spokesperson. And it was always a running joke. That was like, is that a thing to wear a hoodie with a blazer? Like, what was it? Oh, damn.
Yo, Carlos, I'm going to steal your answer.
Oh shit, what's going on?
The reveal that Final Fantasy 13 was multi-plat. Oh, man. Yo, motherfuckers were on suicide watch after that, man. There was guy like, oh, I'm never gonna buy anything Sony again. This is bullshit. You know? I remember there's one guy, he really did write like he's gonna kill himself. Like, well, my man, what the
I can't look him up now.
Yeah. By the way, Jay Allred, is that who you're talking about?
Allred. Jay Allred.
Yeah, Jay Allred.
Yes. He was their go-to guy. He was the face.
Yeah.
Before the whole thing with Major
Sony's Nelson. 2013 conference when they were like, yo, $400. Man, everybody went fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. You know?
We were there for that one.
Yes, we were there. So the hype was very real, you know? And then the year after that, when they announced Final Fantasy VII Remake, Guardian, whatever.
And okay, Last Guardian. Shenmue, Last Guardian, and
Final Fantasy Remake. It was like a fanfic and shit. It's like you throw Half-Life in there, you get every game you've ever wanted.
Yeah. You know? I remember, I mean, you know, I'm not everybody.
Remember Charles Singletary? He was shouting and shit.
That dude, you know. He makes fun of Hip Hop Gamer, right? But that dude was out screaming Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah.
I thought that dude was about to fucking explode and faint.
Yeah. And Charles is a really chill dude, you know, normally.
No, man. He got caught up in that shit.
That was awesome.
Oh, the fun little after thing about this is like we're walking down the thing and I'm like, oh, hey, guys, did you see. Yu
Suzuki? Yu Suzuki, yeah.
Yeah, like, hey guys, did you see Yu Suzuki back there? And you're like, wait, what? Where? Whoa. And then Charles goes running back. He's like, yeah, he's right there. I nodded right up.
It's hilarious. All right. Any other announcements?
Wasn't fucking Metal Gear multiplat also there, or was it?
It was at E3, yeah. Like when I think Kojima came on the Xbox stage.
He came on the Xbox stage.
That was big. That was really big.
It's funny because, you know, like the Metal Gear games were always associated with Sony run. But if you notice all the next gen Metal Gear, like anything for 5, like he always seemed to show up at Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want that Kojima juice, man. All right. Okay, this one. Very interesting one. What's your personal, what's your best personal memory of E3? Going to be different because me and Manny actually been there, but I'm pretty sure you guys have your stories too. You know, so Carlos, we'll start with you, man. Like anything when you were like watching it and like some shit happened with your friends or something?
Yeah. Oh, I got one.
There you go. I knew
it. I got one. Do you know which one too, Tony?
I don't know. Go ahead.
I'll give you guys a hint. Is that gameplay?
Yeah, it's that gameplay.
Yo, man, it was so much fun watching, like, because we were streaming E3 on Twitch, right, or on YouTube, on both Twitch and YouTube last year, and we were all watching. It's like Adam was there, you know, Chris, Dana, like a whole bunch of us, like Throwdown and Coalition were there, and Alde was there too, and man, that Last of Us 2 trailer. Shit, I lost my freaking mind. I still can't believe we watched that
on the way
back. Yeah, we watched that shit. Was hilarious, man.
Is that gameplay?
it was awesome, man. We're just enjoying the show, and even though it had its issues, there was like the whole downtime where the stream went out or the stream was out of sync, and it was so frustrating. And then they did the pauses and everything where they went from venue to venue. But that E3, I forgot what the other two, but Ghost of Tsushima was a fucking crazy ass trailer too.
Yeah,
man, it was so good. And Last of Us 2, those two were my favorite ones. Yeah, man, that last year's E3 was pretty good. Right. And let's just not mention EA though.
Oh
man, that's
some booty juice, man.
Yeah, I kind of want to wear a shirt that says I went to EA Play 2018. All I got was this lousy sunburn.
Oh man, you want to say I went to EA Play 2018 and I survived.
Damn. All right, Adam, what about you? What's your best E3 related memory?
Gears of War, the first one. Just seeing that, the introduction of the roadie run. It's like, what is this? What are we watching? I need this. That was just amazing. That was just amazing. I was blown away just by the way it looked and the feel. And when he started chainsawing and seeing the blood squirt on the screen, I'm like, this is badass. And the active reload system and the cover base. And it was just, that was beautiful. I was like, this is it. This is the future. This game is going to be the future.
Awesome. All right, Manny, what's your personal best E3 memory?
Smart bombs, anonymous. Oh, no, sorry. I was thinking of the song. Like,
yes.
Gears of War by Megadeth. Anyway, for me, E3 moment.
When you were almost choked out by Hip Hop Gamer last year.
You know what? That is my E3 moment. When Hip Hop Gamer was choking me, he was so excited over this Xbox stuff. That is an experience that you could never replicate unless you sat next to, if you somehow were able to sit next to him.
Man, I remember when we were watching it, we could hear him. What? Yeah. Remember, Carlos, which presentation was that? The Fallout one? Oh, no.
It was one of them. We
heard him screaming. We're like, damn it.
Yeah, man.
That's him.
And I think he was sitting next to Rich. We saw Rich.
Yeah,
that was for Sony.
Sony.
Yeah, here's the thing. Him and Reggie were there worshiping and shit.
That was it. That was the big one. Rich and then we're all sitting near Hip Hop Gamer, and yeah,
I think it was either Manny or Tony that, because we were streaming, and one of you guys texted us saying, "Yo, we're here, man. Yo, Hip Hop's here, and then Rich is here and shit." And then we're like, oh shit. And then I think somebody said, yo, I think I saw Rich on the stream.
Rich does show up.
Yeah, it was him and Gary. They were like cool as ice, you know? And then you see Hip Hop Gamer and Reggie, Weapon X, like, they're cool and fucking crazy. Yeah.
They're bowing.
Yo, man.
Yeah. But man, tell us how that whole story came about. Because even the stuff before it was funny.
Obviously, because I don't get in as a games journalist anymore. Like I haven't done the game journalist thing since, I don't know, 2014, I want to say.
Yeah, 2014, 2015, something.
2014. After that, I was always coming in, you know, as industry and stuff like that. Anyway, whenever they have you, you know, go into one of those things, you have to wait onto these crazy ass lines. And that's where I ended up. I ended up on the line with Hip Hop and all of them. So they have like a flow over line. And then what you do is you just wait there, and then eventually they'll let you in. So I was there with Red and them, and we were up in the nosebleeds, like friggin' where was this? Because this was not that usual.
It was at the Microsoft.
At the Microsoft thing, so it was a different location. But I had no idea there were these seats that were even higher than the higher seats. So all of us are all up there, and I just, they set us down, and I'm sitting next to Hip Hop, and man, this dude was just like, he was in it, man. Like, and pretty much anything he saw was like, oh, oh! He saw the Kingdom Hearts, like, oh! He's choking me. it's crazy. There's one or two of them. He's just like, nah, that's all right. Like that. Like
He didn't care.
But it was definitely an experience. I know some people, like when I told him, like, some folks on Spawnomeo was telling him, and they're like, they're just laughing at me because it's like, whatever. I mean, to be honest, like,
did he bring his belt?
Of course, he brought his horse.
He never leaves without
my man. My man's got a fucking case for that shit now. Yeah, he's got his case. He's got like a case he walks around with. Like before, he used to have a little bag, but now he's got a cool ass case that he holds it in when he's not using it.
Yo, I remember there was this one E3. This was a couple of years ago where we were at Smashburger, as we usually are. You know, Hip Hop shows up. You know, he's got his belt there and stuff. And Manny goes like, "Yo, Hip Hop, you know what you should do? You should have like your entourage carry all of your previous belts." Manny's saying this as a joke, right? Like, Hip Hop's like, "Yo,
yo." Well, because I'm thinking this. Hip hop, like, you know, you guys don't see this whenever hip hop goes around, but hip hop has got like, he's got some cats, like he's got like a few people with him. You know, he's got his camera guy, he's got a couple other people there, so he's got like three or four extra people plus Red and her camera people. So yeah, there's
shout out to Carl, crew. Man.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Carl. So there's, you know, he's got a crew that hangs out with him. You know, usually, but you know, so like I'm like, dude. Get everybody. I'm thinking, if you're going to have your crew, man, you got to get everybody in on this shit. They all got to be holding belts like you're the fucking champion. You know? Like, you know.
Like a Mayweather thing.
Yeah, like Floyd Mayweather, man. You know?
Got everybody holding up the belts while he walks around.
Yo, exactly. Yeah, and he was like, yo. Like, you saw the ideas in his head. You know, it's hilarious, man.
You want to talk about, you want to own a room, right? He already says that he's the greatest games journalist that exists, right? So play that shit up, because, you know, totally take that to WWE level, man, and just bring out your crew with the 10 other belts.
are they custom belts? Did they say
yeah,
anything
they are.
On
yes,
it?
Yes, they are all custom belts. All custom, yeah. I asked him about it, you know, like a few years ago, and he was like, yeah, he's got a dude out in, I think, Atlanta or something like that.
Yeah.
He just kind of tells him what he wants on him, and then he puts it together.
Hip-hop, man. Character. Yeah. A lot totally of stories character. We could tell you about hip-hop.
Oh,
By the way, it's fair for me. There's a lot of fucking E3 stories I could tell you, a lot of them. But I'll just keep this one short because it's actually kind of two stories mixed into one, right? Now, one year, Hideo Kojima was on the show floor, right? Mm-hmm. And Manny knew, like, okay, he's going to be at the IGN booth. I'm going to hang out in the cut and wait for him, right? would have done that, but I'm just being real. I went on a date, you know, this girl I knew and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't get laid, by the way, you know, unfortunately. So, you know, that always stuck me. I'm like, fuck, man, I didn't get any tail, and I miss seeing Kojima, right? But thankfully, this was like 3 years ago, you know, like, man, you know, I was hanging out with Manny in the hallways. And he goes to the bathroom and shit. I'm checking my phone. He comes out of the bathroom. He's like, check this out. It's a picture of him and Kojima. I'm like, where the fuck do you take this picture? He's like, in the bathroom. I was like, what the fuck?
No, I didn't take the picture.
There's a story behind that, too, by the way. You know, where was it? It was near the bathroom, wasn't it?
It was, like, right near the bathroom. Like, literally, we were right there, but you weren't paying attention.
No, I wasn't. I was on my phone. So I'm like, oh, shit, he's near. He's like, yeah, he's right there. So
you're just walking up the thing.
Yeah, he's walking down there with his people. You know, he had, like, five pins. I'm like, okay, my next appointment is in, like, 2 hours. I got time to kill. I'm going to meet motherfucking Kojima, you know? So I followed him. We both followed him into the VR room, you know? And he went into one room, and I just waited outside the door, you know? Mm-hmm. And his boy, who was it, Ken?
It was Ken Imazumi.
And I was like, yo, is it okay if I meet him? And when he leaves, like, yeah, go ahead, just hang out, you know? You know, I try to be professional about it. So he came out. We didn't really talk, obviously, but he was very gracious, took a picture mm-hmm. with him and everything. Cool. So, like, I did my own sneaking mission to get mm-hmm. to Kojima, you know? So that's, like, a highlight. Again, there's many, many more stories there, but that's, like, the main one. But I
that
also,
one,
yeah, go ahead.
That one, the way that I got to meet, I took that picture with Kojima near the bathroom because when I walked out of the bathroom, I recognized, because I know by sight what all of Kojima's people look like. So I noticed his secretary, which is, what's her name? Ayako Kikuchi, right? She's like this short lady with blonde hair. I noticed her. And then I noticed Ken Imazumi. And I'm like, oh, shit, Kojima must be around here somewhere. Then he comes walking out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
By the way,
quick story. This is just related to E3. I forgot who it was. I think it was Edward from the Coalition, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes, you know, he's there with Gary and Richard and all the other guys, mm-hmm. right? He goes into the bathroom right across from where the press area is, man. You know where that is, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he comes out, he goes into the bathroom. He comes out white as a ghost, you know? And like, yo, what happened? What happened? He's like, yo, I just took a piss next to Kojima.
And it smelled like fruit juice.
You know, and Gary, he was like, yo, did you see his Metal Gear? You know, some shit like that. Did you have a solid snake?
A very British way to say it.
Yeah, right? Of course. Like, oh, did you have a solid snake? <You know? laughs> That shit is funny, man. But I could tell you E3 stories for days, man.
Yeah, for me, the other time I met Kojima at E3 was the one, yeah, where Tony had the date, right? I went to the IGN booth. And I, you know, just to, you know, take some photos and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, okay, they are not going to run Kojima right out the front. They're going to find some way to run him out the back. So I did a reconnaissance mission. I walked up to the back and I noticed there was a big old door there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait behind this door, wait a little close to this door. And as soon as I see him walk out, then I'll go. And then lo and behold, like I thought, they ran that dude out so fast, like nobody's business. Nobody in the front even knew that he was gone. So I came out there. I gave him one of my things and said I'm a big fan. And then when we were further out, like, I just gave him the artwork and I just, you know, kind of went on my way. And I'm like, you know what? Let me try to talk a little more. So I caught up with him again and we were outside and, you know, I shook his hand and everything. And then he taps my camera. He's like, do you want a photo? I'm like, oh, okay. So I gave one of his people the thing and he took the photo and that's how I got it.
Yeah, that's another fucking awesome E3 story, yeah. Man. It's cool. And again, we got a bunch of them. Manny gave a picture to Greg Miller. That was a really cool story.
Greg, this was actually a kind of a cool one. It's like, so this was right, like really close after when Greg Miller had you know, his cancer had been in remission and all that stuff. So I gave him I knew he was a big Metal Gear fan, and I just had like I had after conventions I have so many prints left over. So I said, you know what? Why don't I bring a bunch of these prints to like the E3 and just give it to people that I know like this sort of shit, right? So I see Greg Miller on the thing, you know, walking around. I'm like, and I knew he was a big Metal Gear fan, so I just gave him one, and he gave me this big ass hug. He's like, "Thank you so much, man." I'm like, "Wow, all right, you right? You're welcome, man."
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. All right, moving on here. All right, Glorious War. Okay, what should Microsoft do to win E3? He goes, I want new AAA IP and no talking about xCloud for 20 minutes. What should Microsoft do to win E3? They won it by default, bro. They won by default. They're the only one in town.
They won it by just showing up.
Yep, they won by default. Sony's not going to be there. Nintendo's not going to be there. And, well, you know, like you still got Ubisoft and stuff, but
Nintendo is there, but
they're not going to have a press conference.
They're not doing a press conference. They're just going to have their booth, which I don't know if they're going to do the same deal again where they just have it deemed at something.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, Microsoft kind of won by default already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to show anything crazy, and they still won. Which is real.
They just have to like not be horrible.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, as long as they're good, which they usually are. Let's just be honest. Microsoft press conference is usually really good.
If the day ended at a Microsoft conference, they would have won every single time.
Yep.
If Sony hadn't had come in at 5:00
and stole the show.
Stole the show.
Heck, like I think in the past like 5-6 years, Microsoft has won some of those conferences.
Oh yeah,
they've had great conferences. Like, you know, I know the people call us the Sony down, but man, every single year in a row, we've always said that the Microsoft ones were really good. The only thing is that there was only until like when Sony would like show up with, and they only had like a few things, and they'd be like, okay, now you remember that. You
know? Actually, I think last year most of us said that Microsoft won E3.
Yeah. They announced Microsoft all those studios and stuff.
They had the most to show.
Yeah. So they kind of won by default, man.
They showed fucking 5 Gears games.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh man. All right. Do you guys want to add anything to that? Because I think we kind of agree. Microsoft already won without, yeah, you know, without even trying. Microsoft
already pretty much won this one. Yeah. Like, unless somehow Sony knows how to take the thunder out of them without even being there.
Like a Last of Us 2 announcement or something.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, they save for the evening, right? Fucking death, like a full on Death Stranding trailer that explains everything. That would be the friggin' megaton, yeah, right? Like
Death Stranding releasing today. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh shit, yeah. That'd be fucked up. Yeah. You know, let me read some of these comments. GZDR says if they show a ton of third party games and don't announce the next system, they lose. To win, they have to announce a major IP purchase, like buying EA. That's not going to happen.
No, it isn't. They're not going to do that.
Glorious War says they can't just show up. They can't just show Halo and Forza and shitty new IPs.
No. They're not doing that.
But they can and still win.
Yeah, no, well, but they'll
show Halo. I think
they'll show Halo. Yeah.
They'll probably show next gen
Halo. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're supposed to see that new service, the other Xbox Anywhere service, the one that you can use on your phones and it's mm-hmm. going to support your Xbox controller. That's beyond Game Pass. It's something completely different. So X-Pass. That's what they that's the thing that they were talking about at last E3. That they wanted to be on phones, this and that, and it's going to be anywhere, and they're going to talk more about it in the future. Well, here's the future, so let's see.
Very interesting.
Yeah, get to play it on Xbox games and stuff on your iPad and other things like that. That'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, and the last question, and Adam, this is for you.
Oh, shit.
All right, a little bit of a two-part question, but since this is the last question, I'm going to allow the first part, even though it's not exactly gaming-related, but we'll get to it. Adam will, you know, he's a professional. He'll dive back into games, obviously. All right, what does Adam think of AEW, and will there be a new game, you know, based around it? I don't follow wrestling, but the videos I saw on Twitter were expert-level stunts and acrobatics. So Adam, what do you think? They put on
a good ass show.
Yeah, man. Good show. They had technical matches. They had hardcore bloody matches. One guy came into a battle royal with a staple gun and started stapling people's foreheads and shit. It was nuts. It all comes down to the engine. We've seen other promotions. Pretty much every promotion that's come out, major promotion, has had a video game. We had an ECW game. We had an Impact game. We had some WCW games. You know, we even had Backyard Wrestling. EA got into Backyard Wrestling games. We've seen them all, but with this is still new, and it all depends if anyone wants to jump in that market and if they have an engine that can work for pro wrestling.
what if you remember how Yuke said they were going to develop a new game? A new wrestling game?
Yeah. Oh, and if they went that route.
What if they did AEW? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, well, they made sure in that video to make sure that they specify that it's another game within a WWE universe. That they're not going to compete against WWE. They're like, they're happy with the contract and their partnership. They're just going to create something else within that world.
Oh, okay. That would be nuts.
The
franchise we're working on, yeah. AEW.
So it just really comes down to if EA or any of these big publishers have an engine that can work for wrestling and maybe it's not being used. I'm saying, hey, we got this fight engine. We think it'd be worked. We just need, you know, a good product to link it to. And I was like, all right, well, here's AEW, but it's still fresh. That was just their first show. You know, mm-hmm. give it like a year or two and we'll see what happens. But right now, I mean, we don't even know if they can pull in numbers rating-wise because they just signed a TV deal with TNT. I think their first episode airs in October sometime. So who knows? Later down the road, yeah, it could be. But again, it comes down to the engine because anybody could make a fighting game, you know, those type of brawler type games. Doesn't mean it's going to be good. And I'm assuming we all want something that's good that lives up to the actual product that we see on TV. Mm-hmm. Not a quick cash grab like we saw with the Acclaim ECW games. Mm-hmm. Oh man, they were so bad. That's why Acclaim is gone.
They just took those Attitude games and just put freaking.
That's it. Yeah, it was so bad. Those games were so bad. You know, but everybody watch AEW. Watch that show was amazing. And it's not just because it's new. A lot of the matches there, a lot of the early matches on that show were just new faces. Yeah, there are a lot of that's what they said they want to do, develop new talent. They don't want to be one of those, oh, this is where all the WWE former guys go. You know, mm-hmm. They want to create new talent, and that's what we need. We want fresh faces, we want fresh stories, we want fresh moves. You're gonna see there's moves in here I've never seen in my life. And I've been watching wrestling since I was like 8. Mm-hmm. Now, so I saw stuff, I was like, all right, here's one, and Manny, you may know this. Remember how Rob Van Dam would set up a guy on his stomach on the guardrail, and then he mm-hmm. would get on the apron and then do that spinning leg drop mm-hmm. onto the guy. This one dude did a shooting star to the guy who is leaning on the apron. Can you imagine doing a backflip and landing on a guy's head while he was mm-hmm. leaning against a guardrail?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe I saw that, but a guy did it at this show. It was nuts. And of course, the staple guy coming in with a damn nail gun, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, a stapler gun and just like stapling everybody. That shit was crazy.
And that was only the pre-show, that staple gun guy.
Yeah, yeah. And the flip. The flip was also, that was a pre-show. That was a pre-show. So yeah, the main event, the main card, it was just amazing. You know, just nonstop men. There was female matches. They had a female ref. They were just trying to point out, hey, we're not discriminating against anything. We're going all in on this. Mm-hmm. So it was great. And then if they had Jim Ross, just to give that throwback feel. So it was a three-man announced team, and he was on it.
I'm not too big on the two other guys, but I think Jim outshines them regardless. Yeah,
the other guys do a lot of Guerrilla Pro Wrestling, mm-hmm. which is another promotion, and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, sorry. And they're known for it, you know, so it's great to have them there because they know a lot of the talent. They know a lot of the indie talent, so they were providing the backstory because we needed that because mm-hmm. a lot of these were fresh faces. If you don't follow the indie scene, you're not going to know who these guys are, and now is their job to fill mm-hmm. in the blanks. Like, hey, this guy did this. He worked here. He's wrestled here, da-da-da-da-da, you know. It's like, okay, now I get an idea. So it's fun, and this is why I hope it works out because, yeah, if you're a hardcore fan, and that's what was there at these shows because they knew all these faces that we just said that no one really knows. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you put it on TV, though? Are people going to watch? Because that was the whole problem with Impact, that it was losing viewership, and they sold it, and then their solution was to bring in Hulk Hogan and everybody else, you know, big name, former name guys from WCW to bring the talent. Is that going to be an issue? Are people going to tune in to watch a bunch of unknowns and just appreciate the talent, and then eventually they become known? Are they going to pay attention, or are they like, I don't see Hulk Hogan, I don't see The Rock, I'm flipping the channel?
I think that what they're going to do is it's going to be a little bit of both.
Yeah,
they're probably, you know, especially with a guy like Chris Jericho. He's like I think I saw an interview with him, and he was like, you know, he's like in the way his situation is now, like him just being at AEW already has people, you know, mm-hmm. looking like, oh yeah. Wait, this is serious.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of work behind the scenes on this one. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really trying to make it take off. And yeah, and back to the gaming. Hopefully, if it all goes well, we will see a game, no doubt, mm-hmm. you know. But hopefully, it's a good game. So we just got to see. Time will tell. I mean, shit, man, the hype is real. Like, that online, people that don't even talk wrestling were like, yo, what is this? What? I'm like, whoa. I was like, people really getting on this. I'm shocked. I was really shocked by that.
The product that they put out was very well done. Like,
yeah,
it almost was like, if you just took maybe WWF, like, you know, from a few years ago when they weren't really, really crazy, like maybe mm-hmm. like, you know, like Attitude Era Raw where they had all that stuff, yeah. Like it felt that good.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely felt. It felt like you want to see each match, and that's the way mm-hmm. it was supposed to be. That's the way it was back in the day. It's like you looked forward to every match. And that's what I felt about this one. It's like none of them felt like, oh, well, now this is the bathroom break. You know, now this is where I go to get something to eat and I'll come back. And that's the way I feel with watching a lot of these WWE pay-per-views. It's like, oh, another one of those matches. All right. But no, this definitely felt like what a pay-per-view is supposed to feel like. Every card is supposed to matter. Every match is supposed to entertain. You know, nothing's supposed to feel like a filler match. So it was good. It was good. So I hope everything works out. The next show is in Chicago. Maybe I'll go to that one. That's so
cool. GZDR, that's not a question we answer, but why not? The show's about to be over. What'd you guys think of the Terminator Dark Fate trailer? Trash.
I didn't even bother.
Trash. 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 Every Terminator movie after 2 has been terrible. Fuck all that shit, you know?
Like I don't understand. Like, number one, they're giving away a bunch of shit in the trailer. Like, now you already know what the fucking new Terminator looks like. There's no, and it's just this, all this over the top CG bullshit. Like, everything looks fucking fake in it. That's the problem. Like, why did Terminator 2 look so awesome? Part of it was because there was only one CG element in the whole damn thing. and that was the T-1000. Now everything's a car is a CG. You know,
it's cheap.
What's her face is doing fucking the girl's doing wire work over the thing. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. I mean, the best part about the first two Terminators was a story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And that it was all practical for the most part, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was cool that the T-1000 was the only CG thing. Everything else was real, you know? And even the T-1000, he still had a model and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he has, like, some... So this one has, like, A something or other.
Whatever.
I don't care. And then he's like... It looks... What does it look like? It looks like he's the same thing as the Terminatrix from the third movie.
That's right, yeah.
Like, you know? He's a skeleton, and it looks like the liquid part could come off the skeleton. So he's got a skeleton and a liquid metal guy.
Yeah. Dumb. No. Oh, by the way, here's a real question. This will be the last one for the night. What's better, Navi or Vega?
Navi or Vega?
I don't know.
Vega? Oh.
Because I think AMD, like, announced the new chip, the new CPU that's going to sell. But I don't know. I haven't really looked into it.
Me neither. I haven't seen any much into it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. I guess we'll find out, you know. All right, so we're pretty much done here. Let me bring up the graphics. Oh, God. All right, so if you want to ask us questions for next week's show, this is what you do. You join our Discord, right? On Discord, you go to the Third Eye Questions section, and in that section, you ask us questions, and you limit them to two, please. As always, I want to give a shout out to the Discord fam who's always in there, you know, yucking it up. The good times in there, man. Especially today, we were making fun of Black Metal Gamer because he was like, hey, what happened to the show last night? And we're like, bro, last night was Saturday. He completely didn't know, man.
It's a 3-day weekend, man. So yeah. That's probably why he's getting
He said he was too drunk. Mighty Nerd says Vega because it actually exists. Okay. And yeah, Navi's out next month.
Yeah, Navi's like the current gen GPU that AMD's like rolling out, and Vega is the previous versions.
Isn't Navi the aliens from Avatar?
The Navi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I read them, I'm like, Navi.
When are those movies coming out? Holy shit. It's been almost 10 years.
They postponed that one.
With the acquisition of 20th Century Fox, Disney's not going to pin that shit against any Star Wars movies.
Yeah, exactly.
This is so crazy.
It's like, we've been waiting forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so that's going to do it for us,
man.
Who are these people? All right. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys, and thank you so much for entering the our most recent contest. It was a lot of really great, a lot of great stories being told about their favorite superheroes. And fear not, we will have more giveaways on our show.
You already know. Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone. Later, people. Deuces.
And Adam Vail.
Yeah, for those who have off tomorrow, Memorial Day, enjoy. And if you can, just go visit your loved ones that have passed. You know, just pay your respects. Just do that. You know, that's what the day's for. So,
yeah, it's not just about burgers and beer.
Yeah, we did that today. We went to go see my father-in-law. Good stuff. Brought the kids over.
All right, guys, we will see you, man, later.
Later, guys.
Peace.